CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. And it is Monday. It is the 8th of June, and that means only one thing. It means you've got to get out of bed and start your day. Get to work. And it means...
What does it mean?
What does it mean? It means Leanne Moll is having a birthday. Yeah, but you got to turn on your microphone if you want people to know. She's sitting there. She's like, me. What did you say, Leanne? We need to turn up your sound somehow. It's very soft on your side. Hello, Ass. Happy birthday. There we are.
Can you hear me?
Tell me, can you hear me? All right, yeah, we can hear you. Happy birthday.
Something just won't change.
Thank you. I'm wearing my accurate birthday badge, which says 40 today.
Nonsense.
I'm just blowing the dust off of it.
Yeah, because you had it for 3 years. So how are you feeling on your birthday? I mean, it's a weird thing to have a birthday under lockdown. I've had a few friends who have.
Yeah, it is weird. So I managed to have like a little braai yesterday with my mom and dad and brother and uncle and auntie. So, because it's my mom's birthday as well today.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. But it's not really different from any other time. I never usually have a big party or anything. You know, once you turn 40, like I am today.
Mm-hmm. You'll keep on reiterating that. Sure. We'll go with it.
Your microphone's very hot. Just turn down your gain a little bit there.
There we go.
Turn down his gay. He can't.
Wow.
Gain.
Leanne, wow. I was still stuck on the fact that I'm very hot.
Yeah. Sia's mic is very hot. And yours is too, Mbolelo. You can bring it down a little. All right.
Is it colder?
No, yours is also too hot, so bring it down.
All righty.
There we go. All right, so now we've got the sound balanced. We've got Leanne's birthday on the agenda. You got any plans for the actual day? Are you going to do anything today?
I've got so much work to catch up on. It's so...
That's good.
I know, it is a good thing, but that's what I'll be doing.
There are people running around right now, they've got no work, they've just got nothing to do.
No, you're absolutely right.
They're hustling their tits off just to get something to do. And
at least you still have tits.
Unfortunately.
And wow, does she.
Yeah, it's also no bra birthday today.
Oh, nice. Happy.
When did that become a thing?
Today, right?
Okay.
Be free.
At 6:11 this morning.
Very nice.
It constitutes no bra the whole day.
Yeah.
Oh, no! You know what I have to do today? I have an actual thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to run out of cigarettes, and my suppliers have run dry. So I'm actually really pissed off. I got cross about this last night, just thinking about it.
Yeah.
I have to try and find somebody somewhere on the streets. Also, the brand that I've had to smoke in the last 4 days has been really subpar stuff from Zimbabwe. My lungs are sore.
Yeah, my parents have been smoking those fake ones, and they cough a lot more.
My throat is sore. I'm having to use my asthma pump more. I'm doing so much more damage to myself than if you had let me fucking smoke.
So you're getting a little tetchy there with Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma, right?
Yeah, today's the day.
Today's the day. What, you're gonna finally send her a letter?
No, today's the day I'm just cross with her.
Oh.
I get you.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Maybe someone will bring me birthday cigarettes to my door.
You're not allowed to beg like this. It's very, it's unbecoming of someone of your stature. So, anybody do anything fun over the weekend besides Leanne? Anything? Sia, you shaved your hair off.
Oh, my gosh, Sia.
I did. Look at that.
But wait, before we even get down Sia's track, there's something so funny that happened. So there was a bunch of trolls on the internet who started this hashtag, bald for BLM. Right, bald for Black Lives Matter. And what happened was, like, a whole lot of woke white girls thought that this was a real thing, including that chick from Harry Potter.
Are Emma, you guys serious?
Yeah, Emma Watson.
She's
or whatever.
Painful.
She's dreadful.
She's so painful.
A whole lot of these white girls thought this was a real thing. And they all shaved their heads, and they look fucking ridiculous, right? But but these girls are like, oh, my God, I went bald for Black Lives Matter, so I'm woker than woker-stan. And now they're all walking around without any hair. And because most of them didn't have jobs beforehand, it doesn't really matter. But those like Emma Watson, who are kind of dependent on the way they look, because, I mean, Emma Watson, let's face it, if she looked like
she has shaved her hair before.
Yeah, she looked shit
from the pixie route.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, this is all fun and games to know after shaved my hair.
You didn't do it for those reasons, right?
No.
Yeah, have you ever done it before?
I used to while I was at school. But, I mean, that's an easy 7 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's just that visual adjustment. I have to say, a couple of days in, I still catch my own reflection, or I walk past the mirror and go, oh, wait, who's that?
You're like a newborn baby, all fresh and new.
I'm even taken aback by it. And then it's also the little things, like when I'm in bed and I'm turning over in bed and my head has to rub over pillow, I'm like, oh, what's the sensation?
Yeah.
Now you know what it feels like to have a Brazilian wax. As Wanda Sykes put it, all of a sudden, there's like one, your left side starts communicating with your right, and they've never done that before.
that Wanda Sykes, I miss her. She's not doing much comedy anymore.
Well, no one is much.
Well, no, she has been, but she's doing a lot of appearances. I'm trying to think who showed was Jimmy Kimmel. Okay. She appeared on the whole Black Lives Matter. And it was actually her. You know, I've had to go on my own journey in fully understanding the issue at hand, specifically because it stemmed from America and landed on our shores. And I needed to catch up and understand exactly what it was all about. And she helped me so much in that. And the thing that came out with what she said was, the whole movement, why it's important to her, is she wants to see white people standing up for black people. So in other words, whites saying to other whites, stop killing black people. And that made a lot of sense to me.
Is there some kind of a rocking noise going on in the background, or is it just my imagination?
It's just my dog trying to get comfortable in his basket.
Oh,
Sorry. Okay.
I wondered what that was. I thought some earthquake or something going on there.
He's old and senile. I have to cover him up, and then he stops.
All right, well.
Sorry, not to take away from your point, Len, but I haven't been able to watch any of these late night shows anymore because, yeah, it is that lockdown fatigue. I don't want to see anyone's lounge anymore. I don't want to see their kitchen. Yeah. I want to sit with lights and whatnot. It was actually Jimmy. Yeah, I always get them confused.
Fallon or Kimmel.
It was Jimmy Kimmel, who a couple of days ago was trying to do something new and fresh. And he happens to be neighbors with Dakota Johnson, yes, the Fifty Shades of Grey actress.
I saw this episode.
They literally filmed an interview standing at each other's fence, and they were interviewing each other over the fence. I thought, I don't want to see this anymore. I don't.
I'm also seeing a lot of embarrassing, corny stuff in the light of Black Lives Matter.
Well, I had an interesting conversation with someone over the weekend. And I mean, obviously this Black Lives Matter thing is still very much an issue in society. It's what everyone's talking about at the moment. But you raise an interesting point, and this came up in conversation with someone over the weekend. Like, sport and entertainment are forever changed. People have suddenly realized that some of these people who we were paying millions and millions and millions of dollars to entertain us, because that's all sport is. Sport's just another kind of entertainment. Actually are not worth that money. People are starting to see like these people are, sure, there's some of them that are more talented than others. They've got great production teams who write great jokes for them. They've got interesting stuff going on in their lives. Maybe they've got, you know, curious outtakes on the world. And if they're sports people, they're really physically talented. They're amazing. They can do things that we can't do. That sort of thing, right? But actually, yeah. Do they deserve these millions and millions of dollars that we've been paying them up to now?
It's changing yes. for, it's the same thing. It's changing for celebrities too. Mulelo, you say yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely they do.
You sure about that?
Yeah. I mean, not all of them. I think those
really?
That...
Like, that for kicking a ball around, I mean, listen, we're living in a new kind of economy now where you mm-hmm. what you put in, you get out, right? And we've noticed that for what, 3 months now, we haven't had live football, we haven't had live athletics, we haven't had live cricket, rugby, we haven't had any of that stuff. And how many people have died? None. And how many people have been crying, but like deep, miserable, passionate crying over the fact that they didn't get to see their favorite sport? None. And the reality is that we can probably carry on with a dilute form of this from now on. We've realized, like, it is not worth paying someone the money that Leanne was telling us the other day about these sports stars who are getting hundreds of millions of dollars. Don't get me wrong. They're not untalented. I haven't suddenly started to disapprove of the sport. I've never been a sports fan. I'm probably not the best person to even talk about this. But do we need to be paying these people this kind of money for doing what is essentially a non-essential service?
And yeah, do we need to tone it down a little?
And you look at these entertainers on TV, like these people are not that funny. They're not that entertaining. They're not that clever. What are we paying them this huge money for?
Well, fantasy has a role to play in society.
Yeah.
So forget about the fact that they are genetic freaks and the aspirational model that they serve for the human
condition. Sportsmen in particular.
Anyone, actors, musicians, all of them. Fantasy has a role to play in completing the social archetype. So the ability to aspire and to put somebody above you has a role to play for society at large and progress. So absolutely. Whatever you're doing, but you're worth it.
That kind of money?
You're not. Absolutely. And they're underpaid.
I don't think so, dude.
Because
I really don't.
Just because I really don't. You
like,
don't.
We've taken sport out of the equation completely, and humanity is not deteriorated, and we haven't lost something special.
In your world, and that's
world.
Fine.
Yeah, no, sure. Right? That's why I'm saying I'm probably not. But I could say the same for entertainment. Like, I was never a big TV fan, but I like movies.
Mm.
I like a good TV series. I enjoy a comedian. I'm not missing those people.
So what do you do? Want to see what the uptake will be like.
Yeah, you know, when we're out of this, yeah.
When studios are back to normal, when stadium
I mean,
or stadia
the,
are back to normal.
Doesn't the Premier League go back online? They're not doing it for a crowd, but it'll be online, right?
Yeah, back on next week, Wednesday.
So we'll see the numbers there. I'm sure they'll be high because people have also been starved. But in the long run, what has this taught us anything, or are we just going to go back to the same? I'm saying maybe people will go, you know what? Because let's face it, in this country, actual sports viewership in terms of being physically present was on the down anyway, right? I mean, there were very few events in South African sport that filled a stadium. Very few.
Yeah, but it's run like a spaza shop in this country. Yeah. So there's nothing to stop.
Well, precisely. So you don't even have the right people running it. And I'm glad that those people have had to take a pay cut over the last couple of months. All I'm saying is maybe we should just reevaluate who's really valuable and who isn't. That's what the word reevaluate means, for God's sake.
But I remember you saying...
Has there been...
Let's value the scientists, the doctors more. And you always said to me, I overvalue these people. It was a couple of months ago.
Well, because
so I agreed with you before this.
Yeah, well, this is the point. So there, now you're changing your mind because it's sports people, something you feel
strong. No, I'm not. I'm not changing my mind. Two things can be true. Both can be valued. You can lift the value of doctors and scientists and nurses while maintaining what's the status quo.
Hmm.
Gareth, has there been someone or a group of people who have been surprisingly more valuable to you during this time? Apart from the obvious, like, you know, medical staff.
Well, no, I mean, I haven't interacted with medical staff, so to me, they've been the same value, to be honest. Right. I mean, you can only look at your own life, because everybody thinks that they're so worldly, and they're so capable of taking in all the objective information. But the fact is, we're also subjective. So during this time, what have I appreciated? Mm. Who has delivered services to me? People who do deliveries.
Yeah, that was number one for me.
That's really
people who are searching for my brand of what on the shelves.
Mm-hmm.
I actually feel embarrassed, you know, when they have to phone me and say, "I'm sorry, this deodorant's not available. What else will you use?" I feel like lazy.
Yeah,
you know.
So, I mean, I haven't bought clothes. I haven't actually done anything. I appreciate the people who work at petrol stations late at night.
Yeah.
Because I think about those people through the whole of lockdown, they didn't get to close. I think about, obviously, the police and the nurses and the doctors who are working, even though I haven't interacted with any of those.
Yeah.
And those people are undervalued. I think, you know, this is where Mbulelo and I don't have an argument. Those people are totally undervalued in society. And they do a very important job. And provided they're good cops and not shitheads, and provided they're great nurses and not just trade union members who get protectio, and provided they're doctors who actually care about their patients rather than doctors who are just trying to make tons of money, then I'm all for it.
You know who I'm actually appreciating the most?
Who?
And is content creators, YouTube content creators, podcast content creators. Gareth, watching, being part of the audience on the podcast just recently with Reg Lascaris.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for those people who are trying. In fact, I wouldn't even say trying. They're just doing their thing, but they're being heard.
Well, I suppose it's the medium rather than the message that has suddenly become so relevant to people, because now you can listen a lot more, you can watch more stuff. And I, you know where I agree with you is all these people who teach lessons and things online. I mean,
yeah.
I told you I did that Egyptology course for fun, right? Now, that's fascinating. And I would never have thought of doing that before lockdown. I thought, you know, one day I'll study stuff just because I'm bored. But here I was in lockdown, and I was taking on a new interest, and it was brilliant. And I love the fact that you can go online now and you can get anything like that. And, of course, there are also, and this is where I come back to the entertainers and sports people, there are sincerely and decently talented people who are doing amazing stuff online that they used to do on television or in writing in the newspapers or wherever else on those old media they might have been. And those people are still creating value. There are just some of them that you've seen are quite paper thin. Like, there's some of them who have huge teams of people that prop them up. And when you watch them on their own performing from their house, you're like, actually, this person's overpaid. There's not that much going on here.
Yeah, I think some people have done disservice to themselves by trying to continue on their own.
It's like, just like when Madonna puts her kid on a YouTube video to try and, like, you know, show some solidarity with Black Lives Matter, and she's got her adopted black kid singing Black or White. And I'm like, you know, Madonna's just totally out of touch now. And as much as
that actually makes me feel nauseous.
It's cringy, right? And I think here's this woman who, she was always so good at reinventing herself, and clearly, like, she hasn't got her shit together anymore. And she's trying things that are not a good idea, and it looks bad, and it sounds bad, and it is bad. And then I think, well, Madonna, your time is up. And I know that people would go to her concerts to see her perform live, but she can't put on those outfits in her house and not have any other dancers or any lighting or any sound or any stadium. And pull off the same thing, you know. So Madonna's overpaid. So, like, she must take the money she's already made and bank it and now call it a day.
You know that there are so many singers that I love to death, but they can't sing.
Yeah.
Madonna is one of those.
Yeah. It's time.
Oh, yeah.
It's just time. You've done really well. Like, she ate at the buffet table for a long time, the buffet table of stardom. She gorged herself as was her wont. She is probably going to go down in history as the queen of pop, right? So that puts her on a footing with the greats of history. And for someone with a fairly average voice, but a huge hunger to be successful, I give credit to Madonna. All praise be, but now it's time to shut the restaurant. You know,
The real credit goes to Guy Ritchie for putting up with her for those years.
It was like 2 seconds. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, I mean, and they're not together anymore, so calm down. He knew what we're talking about. He knew about that 10 years ago. So.
She found someone to make babies with, that was it.
Hey, listen, I know that this is maybe for some people not the most relevant thing, but we've got to get into this maybe in the next half hour about Epstein's girlfriend, that Ghislaine Maxwell.
Yes, what happened? What have I missed?
We've got a lot to talk about.
I got into it.
I've been on the social.
I got into it this weekend. I have all of the details.
Okay, good.
It is juicy.
Good.
I'm so excited.
I'm frothing.
I'm very excited. So we're going to also talk a little bit about e-commerce this morning, because it's interesting. Leanne said one of the groups of people that she's really appreciative of at the moment is the people who do her deliveries. And e-commerce is the way to go now. I mean, that's what everybody's doing. That's how we order things. I don't know if I'll go to the shop again in a hurry. Like for obviously for groceries and things, that's fine. But do I need to go and buy other stuff? I don't think so. I think I'll manage by, you know.
But even groceries.
Even groceries you can have delivered. you can have it set on a timer, you know.
I feel really, really sorry for stores that have had to close. I really do. Yeah. And also, like, a brand new – this guy had an amazing concept for a barber store in the complex down the road from me.
Mm-hmm.
And he fitted out the shop beautifully, and – I watched him sit there because it was just the wrong timing. It was when COVID had just broken. We hadn't gone into lockdown yet. So I'm sitting on the sofa with absolutely no clients. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And there his shop just sits. He's paying rent. Oh, horrible.
Oh, by the way, Leanne, some messages here for you.
Happy birthday.
Temba saying happy birthday. Leanne Moll, may you have a splendiferous, blissful day. Isn't that nice from Temba?
Thank you, Temba.
Sean says, oh, my God, I felt so embarrassed for all the beacons of virtue this weekend. It was so fucking cringe to watch all these people taking a knee. It's like we're living in an episode of South Park. Yeah, I'm with Sean on that one. Leanne, another birthday message for you from Ruth. She says, I went to my local friendship church, got high, had gin. Did a pretend striptease dance to Mariah Carey on a table? Was definitely the gin. Happy birthday, Leanne. Nice one, Ruth.
Ooh, nice. Thank you, Ruth.
A striptease to Mariah Carey.
Baby, what? You give it to me.
Okay.
I know it's good. You know I got it.
Right? You can't see that?
100%.
Mm.
100%.
I hope it's not like Hero or something.
No, it wouldn't be a good strip song. You see, again, your prejudice against strippers comes out.
Okay, I'll keep it quiet then.
Good morning, guys. I started a new habit of listening to the live stream of the show, and I'm very happy I did. I've been listening to podcasts since 2014. Happy birthday, Judas. Ah, good old Judas. I remember you. I remember you from the good old days, Judas. You and I, when we planned that, turning that guy in back in the year 33 AD, I think it was.
And
you
and the Pontius. Last minute, I saw Judas.
Yeah, I was Pontius. This is my mate Judas.
Oh, how many? 12 silver coins, was it?
I think it was 13 pieces of silver, which is one of the reasons that 13 Pardon is me. Unlucky.
Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
But I still haven't forgiven you, Judas.
He's still got the money, so you can hate him all you like. He's been living for a long time on that money. So anyway, well done and welcome, Judas. Nice to have you with us. Judas, you know, I had a friend who used to piss Christians off. He's a Jewish dude, and he used to piss Christians off by saying, hi, my name is, and then he'd say his name. I'm a direct descendant of Judas. I always thought that was hilarious.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Dr. Robin saying happy birthday to Leanne, a fellow Gemini. We are the best. Hope
happy birthday whenever yours is.
And Dr. happy. I hope that there are dramatic improvements in everyone's year, Dr. Robin. Nice.
Lovely.
All right. Okay, we've got a couple of things to do, like the news headlines for this morning. Let's look at those, and we'll take your messages on 0797482090. First thing, this is from ENCA this morning. Pastor Mborro, he says...
Which one was he again?
He's the one who made people... He sprayed the doom in their mouths or whatever.
Oh, I will doom you.
That one.
Yeah.
Pastor Mborro says... Government is targeting churches with its strict lockdown regulations. It plans on blaming religious institutions for spreading coronavirus.
Oh, come on.
His Katlehong Incredible Happenings Church. That's what it's called. The Katlehong Incredible Happenings Church.
Amen.
Amen. God, praise be to that, the Katlehong Incredible Happenings Church. They reopened on Sunday, and he delivered a sermon to 50 people while wearing a face shield. Mborro has described other churches that have refused to open as cowards. On Sunday, he began his service by asking those over the age of 60 to leave the service, as they are more at risk. His sermon included an endorsement of the use of herbal remedies to keep healthy. God said in his words, I gave you herbs for healing. It is not wrong to use herbs as a child of God, he said.
This guy should be given a YouTube platform.
Yes.
The extra money we're spending on people who aren't performing, mm-hmm. maybe we need to give to him.
He sounds like a great entertainer.
100%.
Now, let me guess. Probably as the congregants stood up and were leaving the church, there were also the herbs bottled up at the door, ready to be sold at 500 rand a bottle.
That's right. 500 rand a bottle. Quite right, Sia. Spot on. Mm-hmm. He says it was good to be back in church, but he believes government's focus on religious institutions is unfair. Well, they're only focusing on religious institutions. No one else is allowed to open, Pastor Mborro. So what would you like? I mean... Restaurants can't have less than 50 people. They can't even have 2 people.
And they have the decency to pay taxes. So, yeah.
All right.
What are we doing here?
What are you doing? You're not paying taxes, you son of a bitch.
There was just this scene I couldn't get out of my mind yesterday. I saw on social media a pastor here in South Africa who had converted an old factory into a church. Mm-hmm. And he was preaching about, praying for his congregants who were unemployed. And it was just, I guess, the visuals of being in a factory, you know, which stands as a symbol for employment and productivity. And here you are milking people for money, because he ended up asking people to pay some money. And then it was just... tacky and weird and unsettling for me. Come on, can't we do better as a society?
No, we can't.
Well, in his defense, Jesus was a carpenter.
Yeah, he didn't have a factory.
So, well, I mean,
he wasn't selling chairs. He wasn't saying to people, come to my sermon, but buy 10 chairs from my dad before you get in.
Yeah.
Let's give the guy credit.
Bar stools on sale.
Jesus saying, if you'd like a desk for your study, come and ask Joseph Woodwork. He's my dad.
I fashioned a mask out of wood.
He's my dad, but it's not nepotism. They built all those pews in the Vatican, his dad built. Can you imagine? All right, Lord. Let's move on. So the Department of Basic Education, who are aptly named, have said about 95% of schools have been provided with COVID-19-related personal protective equipment. So I've got a 6-year-old nephew, and he's meant to be going back to school when they eventually open it up. And the rules they have for these kids are just ridiculous. They have to wear these masks all the time, which, by the way, is so insanitary. And you can get hypoxia and a whole lot of other shit from wearing a mask the whole time. But that's besides the point. So he's going off to school. Now, he's not allowed to touch any of the other kids. They're not allowed to play together. They're not allowed to be on an open field together. They're going to be in demarcated spaces. It sounds like jail. And all of this for a disease that affects 0 children in South Africa. Zero cases in South Africa of dead children from COVID. Zero. Let me say that again in case you misheard the number, because it's such a big number. Zero.
A big fat zero.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're gonna make these kids even weirder, because kids can be very easily pushed into weird at a young age. You make them all weird, where they're scared to touch each other, where the chances of their being infected are probably high, but their chances of developing symptoms are very low. And you're going to make them socially awkward and weird. And for some kids, school's probably the only place they do get some attention. You know, we've got a lot of problems in society in South Africa, and school might be the one place where the kid gets a little hug from the teacher every now and then. Now, that's out of the question. A lot of people only send their kids to school in South Africa, and here's another ugly reality, just because they couldn't be bothered to feed them at home. And this is just a way to get them out of the house so that the parents can actually work in order to pay for the said school and their fees. It's a funny, twisted, and perverse circle, but it exists. Now, Mochecha says there will be no school that will resume if not ready to do so. So what have they done? They've sent in a whole lot of people to go and spray down the schools with God knows what. Because if it was bleach or sodium hypochlorite or, you know, some sort of sanitizer, you know, some propanol sanitizer, then by the time the kids get back to school, that stuff may have evaporated. It may have lost its efficacy. They may not have cleaned the school at all. In fact, somebody who I know who teaches said that they went back to their school after it had been supposedly cleaned and sanitized by the department, and it was dirtier than it was when they left it.
Mm.
So who knows whether this is true or necessary. But, you know, now government have to carry on performing this one-act play because they've got us so deep in the hole that people are now starting to say, well, it doesn't look like this thing's as dangerous as you said it was, government. So why are we having to worry? And government's like, no, it still is, but we want to send you back to school, but we want to start opening up. But we're not that concerned anymore. We've got ways and means. It's like a big, hypocritical, two-faced act. And we've just got to go along with it.
It's something called hypernormalization. And it's starting to become very worrying, actually, what we're seeing. So we saw it in the Soviet Union, yep, where the term comes from. When the society knows that the government is not in charge.
Right.
The government knows that the people know, but to complete the archetype, the act must go on. It's very, very worrying.
I get that.
We've seen this act before.
Yeah, well.
Hypernormalization.
I think it's stupid for what it's worth. News 24 reporting this morning, Jacob Zuma has split with his 25-year-old fiancée.
Yes.
Oh, no.
Drama.
You hate to hear it.
That's Nonkanyiso Tonko, who was his 25-year-old fiancé. I mean, how old is he?
Rich enough.
Old enough.
He's rich enough.
Old enough to be her great-grandfather.
He is 53 years older than her.
Mm. Yeah, I wasn't exaggerating. He could be her great-grandfather.
Yeah.
Love knows no bounds.
So listen to this. Let's get into the reads with these people quickly. The pair, who have a young son together, so that he's definitely
what?
Had. Yeah, I know he's had. Ugh. Imagine that. Mm. Oh, poor woman.
Oh my God.
He's mated with her. Let's put it that way.
He's mated with her. So this poor woman had to lie down and he had to climb on top of her.
Oh, no. Sorry if this is graphic, but there is no way Sean Lord is still jumping on people. Starfishes there.
You reckon he starfishes, she climbs on top?
He lays there like a rotisserie chicken, just goes like that.
I don't agree. I think the guy's got some energy. Especially for Musa. So here it is. Apparently, her father. Now this is her dad.
Yeah, her parents are getting all involved in this shit now.
Do you know what her dad's name is? Fartescue.
No.
No.
Yes.
No, come on.
No.
F-A-R-T. Fart.
Yes.
Fartescue.
Uh-huh.
Fartescue. Fartescue, the
farter. I don't know if I've ever farted straight.
Depends on the position of your actual asshole. But here we are. Fartescue said, although she had lost contact with him, he had never approved of her relationship with Zuma. Oh, suddenly he doesn't approve. He didn't have a problem when she was marrying the president, right? I love how people... he is Fartescue. He's speaking out of the side of his mouth. He never approved now with the former president for not having paying... Of course this guy's not going to pay Lobolo. He doesn't pay anyone. Pay back their money. You remember that?
I do.
Fartescue, you're an idiot.
And pay back the Lobola.
Yeah. So Fartescue said he heard his daughter was no longer together with Zuma and was made aware that she was now staying with her mother in the Eastern Cape. This is another happy family where everyone lives in different parts of the world. She blocked me on all her contacts. But I know she blocked Fartescue. But he says, I know she doesn't stay in Belito anymore. I wish she would come back home. If Zuma is no longer able to maintain her, I will. According to sources, the alleged split happened late last year. She used to post pictures of herself and the former president. She's removed his photos from her Instagram account. The split was put under wraps. She received a strong warning from the Zumas that she must not reveal the separation to avoid media attention.
Oopsie.
This week, City Press visited Hilltop Private Estate and spoke to the guards who confirmed that she had vacated the premises at the end of last year. They said Zuma, who's 53 years her senior, used to visit her at the residence, but he stopped visiting and later moved out in December. Earlier this year, Sunday Sun reported that she was unhappy with Zuma and she took to Instagram to vent her frustrations at her son's absent father. Hey, you knew this man's character before you married him, unless you didn't do any research.
Yeah, I don't feel sorry for
her. I should follow her. No,
I don't feel sorry for her either. She's really...
You knew what you were getting into.
How do you not know? I mean, this is one of the most public people in the country. He was our former president. You can Google anything you want about him, and you can find out very quickly he's A, untrustworthy, B, not very good with women, and see a pathetic parent. Pathetic. And he never pays his bills. And yet you were like, oh, I'm going to marry the president. So you reap what you sow, honey.
She does shower, though, after sex. He showers. This is a good thing.
Good point. Yeah. Anyway, he met her at a reed dance in Nongoma, which he can't resist a reed dance. And she was all of 19 years old. I mean, how gross. How gross to be like Silvio Berlusconi and Jacob Zuma and be hitting on these girls who are so much younger than you. Anyway, she was forced to resign from her job at a non-profit organization. And they were not impressed with her relationship with Zuma. But now everything's gone down the toilet and she's alone, so alone. All right?
Oh, I am definitely following her on Instagram. Her Instagram bio is a woman who works. Yes.
Go on.
It's a woman who walks in purpose, self-love, respect, and confidence. And one of her most recent posts, not tacky at all, she captions, money is cheap. Freedom is expensive. Ooh.
Yeah, that's what. Wow. Her next step is teaching English in China. Once she's posting that kind of stuff.
Right. She's actually got it. She's got herself a really good badge. She were they married? No, they were engaged, huh?
No, they were married.
Oh, they were married. Yeah. She can say, I was married to the president, and she can say, I have the president's son or daughter.
Yeah, I hope she gets a big...
I think she's going to have a reality show.
She's not going to get any money in Bulilo. Are you stupid? Haven't you watched what this man has done?
I know. I live in hope.
He's never... I bet you that there's... If any investigative journalists, if there are still any in South Africa, go and ask for the electricity bill for... what's the place called? Nkandla. And ask for if anyone has ever paid that electricity bill. I guarantee you the answer is no. Plumbing, water and electricity, municipal rates and taxes, guaranteed no payments ever.
Listen ever. Properly.
Ever.
Listen properly. I have never paid that.
Right. Okay, so here is an interesting story. Germany's top diplomat says ties with the United States are complicated, and he fears that America's domestic discord could further fuel international tensions. Foreign Minister Heiko Maas said in an interview published on Sunday that if the U.S. goes ahead with plans to withdraw thousands of troops stationed in Germany, then Berlin would take note of this. Well, okay, so first of all, dude, whatever's going on in the United States domestically is not the reason you're complaining. You're complaining because Germany is going to lose that stationed American troop presence, which you like, because it makes you less vulnerable to international interference. Basically, the U.S. is footing the bill for Germany's security, right?
Fair enough.
I mean, if you've got, imagine if we had 50,000 Chinese troops just kind of just having a little bit of a presence here. Just hanging around. What would that make you? You'd either go, okay, yes, China, no, China, anything you say, China, because you'd realize you were captured. Or you'd go, okay, well, we don't have to have troops because China's protecting us. Now, for the last 50 years, that's what's happened because Germany used to be a place of considerable international interest. As you can imagine, they tried to take over the world in the 1940s, and that didn't go so well for them when they lost. And then it was partitioned. And we know what German reunification meant in the 1990s. And since then, Germany's had this agreement with the U.S. that the U.S. would station some troops there as kind of a buffer zone to Soviet aggression. And past the time that the Soviet Union was a threat, and now they seem to be a threat again, they could be a bulwark against Germany having to fight other enemies wherever they may come from. You know, the East, the West, the North, the South. So Germany was happy with this up to a certain time. There are apparently about 9,500 troops that the U.S. wants to take out. They've got a total of 34,500. And that obviously helps Germany's economy. I mean, the U.S. are probably paying for those bases. They're probably spending money while they're there. Not insubstantial money if you consider what military budgets are, right, Mbulelo? So Germany's really complaining that they don't want to lose this income and they don't want to lose this free protection from the U.S. So don't try to say that it's because of U.S. domestic situations. That is completely hypocritical and disingenuous of you, frankly.
It is disingenuous.
I mean, really, for the
geopolitics at its finest.
Right. I mean, for the Germans to be complaining, what are you complaining about? Either you're complaining that you had the free protection from the United States military for the last 50 years, which probably saved you from being overrun. If you remember what Kennedy had to do with the Berlin airlift, it probably saved you from the Soviets completely demolishing any kind of liberal democracy in that part of the world. So let's be grateful for that. Or you didn't want them there in the first place and you would have been happy with that. But don't speak with forked tongue because we can tell you're talking nonsense. He did say, however, he values the cooperation with U.S. forces that has grown over the decades. It is in the interest of both of our countries, more especially Germany, I would think. He voiced concerns that the U.S. presidential election campaign could further polarize America and stoke populist politics. Oh, you don't say. It's funny how all these issues always come up about 6 months before U.S. election. Always. He asked about Trump's hardline stance towards those protecting racism and the death of George Floyd. Maas said he thought it was a dangerous thing to threaten further violence in a very tense situation. Of course, this coming from people who are trying to hold together the EU against broad and wide dissatisfaction that the EU is able to achieve anything. Anyway, we do too much there, I think, to analyze it any further. I probably bored you to death already. In other news, Russia has declared an emergency following a spill of 20,000 tons of oil into the Arctic Circle. Russia has got to be one of the most disgusting countries in the world when it comes to doing ecological damage. It was in Russia that the greatest nuclear disaster of the last, well, of all history took place at Chernobyl. It was in Russia that we have vast lakes like, look it up, Lake Karachay, which is a concrete lake. It is solid concrete. You can look at it on Google Earth and you will see a gray mass where there used to be water. And that gray mass is solid concrete and it's radioactive. And all they did was pour in cement powder until it solidified. because it is so polluted that if an animal drank the water from that lake, it would take 10 steps from the lake and die. And now Russia's done us all the service of pouring a considerable amount, in their words, of oil into the Ambarnaya River in Siberia, which just pours out into the Arctic. This is great.
Oh.
Well done, Russia. You're such a great, fundamentally, you're an idol. You're the kind of country that we should all look up to, a role model.
I don't think that you can actually believe how far wide the stretch is.
It's huge.
And it's something that I wanted to speak about. Perhaps we'll talk about it when we've got more time after seven.
Oh, you can talk about it now if you want to, because this is just unbelievable. You'd see it from outer space.
So it's what it's doing, because it was 21,000 tons of diesel fuel that spilled from this reservoir. It's melting something called permafrost.
Aye.
Permafrost is soil that is frozen, mm-hmm. Found mostly in the Northern Hemisphere, and it covers about a quarter of exposed land, and it's thousands of years old. Now, what are we worried about? Well, it's locked into this permafrost is approximately 1.7 trillion tons of carbon in the form of frozen organic matter. Problem is that when this permafrost melts, it's like a time bomb. It brings to the surface diseases that have been buried for thousands of years.
Oh, yes.
So they're like these viruses that come up that people haven't heard of for thousands of years.
You know, Russian President Vladimir Putin declared a state of emergency in the city of Norilsk after the spill. An estimated 20,000 tons, as Leanne said, of fuel from a power plant where they make nickel, among other things, which is also toxic in large quantities. A considerable amount of this has spread into there. The president appeared shocked to learn that the local authorities were first flagged to the incident by social media. Not surprising. Local authorities in Moscow were only told about Chernobyl because Norwegians had seen isotopes in their data collection, which they hadn't seen before. So the information system not work so good in Russia. Yeah? Not going
broken.
Yes, because people lie for a living. This is what communism teach you, to lie.
So this gives you an example. In 2016, when there was a breakdown of permafrost in a certain area, mm-hmm. a child in Russia's, in Siberia, actually died of an outbreak of anthrax that scientists said seemed to have come from the corpses of infected reindeers buried 70 years before.
Ooh.
But uncovered by melting permafrost. There are a major amount of dormant pathogens entombed in this frozen soil that could be roused by global warming. There are even, if you think about it, old smallpox graves.
Yeah.
And remember that freezing doesn't kill the virus. It so just keeps it inactive.
You think COVID is scary. Some of these diseases you don't need to make in a lab. Nature's been working on them for millennia. Get ready. It's going to be a load of fun. Plus, of course, you kill millions and millions of fish. You kill millions of other kinds of aquatic life. And in the Arctic, which has up to now mostly been resistant to this sort of pollution because there are only a few designated routes for ships to take through the ice. And if you do go up there, you need some pretty sophisticated machinery, ice-breaking ships to get you through. Now, of course, it's going to sit under that ice or on top of it. It's going to have consequences in terms of how it melts the ice or it makes it less susceptible to staying solid. There's lots of ugly situation. Russia, thank you very much. When people go on about, like, America didn't sign the Paris Accord and Russia's dumping tons of oil into the Arctic.
From Russia with love.
Let's see Greta Thunberg get on the stage today and bitch about this, because people might actually take her seriously. But, of course, it's not as sexy as if she makes up this boogeyman called global warming. So let's see what happens, everybody. Look to all those people who always used to tell you about the climate and global warming. And let's see if any of them mentioned this story, because it's such an obvious one. There's someone to blame. We know what to do about it. But, of course, nothing will be done, because it doesn't involve getting everyone in the world uptight about capitalism or about progress?
Well, the real reason nobody will do anything is that Putin has Europe by the testicles.
Yes.
So in Siberia, they have something like, I stand to be corrected, but it's above 80% of the natural gas reserves on the European continent.
Well,
now,
he supplies everybody in Eastern and even parts of Western Europe with all of their winter heat.
Exactly. So there's a bit more at play there. And Siberia is an interesting region because also the oil reserves, nobody knows what's really there, but it's clear there's something because nobody takes the position they do with Saudi Arabia like Putin. And that lets you know that he's got everyone by the testicles. And to tie it to the other story with Germany is they need America around because there is a tide coming. Right. That name is Vladimir Putin.
We'll leave this alone for the moment, but we'll pick it up at some other time. We've got lots to get to. It is 7 o'clock, cliffcentral.com. When we come back, we're going to speak about e-commerce, among other things, but we'll take your messages and your thoughts on 079-748-2090. And, of course, it's Leanne Moll's birthday.
Schmappy's birthday.
I see you. Cliffcentral.com.